You see from the bulletin that our Old Testament lesson today comes from two different books. Our first reading is the closing verse of the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25. And then I'll be reading several verses from the book of 1 Samuel in the 8th chapter, verses 4 through 9. First now from Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. And from 1 Samuel. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I don't know if I mentioned this any time over the last 6 weeks or so, but did I mention that we're making good time? We are making great time. We began with Genesis just a few weeks ago, September 23rd to be exact, and here we are already in 1st and 2nd Samuel. Okay, that's good time. Along the way, we have become familiar with the heart of the Hebrew Scripture, the Law, the Torah, or the Pentateuch, and those books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Very, very good. We have moved from promise to Egyptian servitude to liberation to return to the promised land. We've moved from Abraham in about 2000 BC to Moses about 1250 BC down to the very end of the era of the judges. You know, people like Samson and Deborah in the year about 1100 BC. We're making good time, folks. So today, we find ourselves at a point in Israel's history when regional charismatic leaders called judges will no longer suffice in the battle against a strong and organized opposition. Folks like the Philistines. We've all heard of the Philistines. Now, I said this at the middle service. The Philistines had already moved into the Iron Age. The Israelites were kind of stuck in the Bronze Age. And that doesn't work so well in battle. Because if you have a bronze shield, relatively soft, and someone comes in with an iron club, things don't go so well for you. So they wanted to reorganize a little bit to see if they could find a little bit more security. So in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, our focus this morning, we see the move within Israel away from the old model of leadership found in the book of Judges and to a new model based on what they saw all around them, monarchy. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." Now, if you're trying to keep the content of all these books organized in your mind as we go through them, and when you're trying to kind of keep 1 and 2 Samuel in your mind, think about it this way. It's a story of the last judge, Samuel, and the life and the story of the first two monarchs, Saul and David. And if that is too much for you to handle, then just one name to remember for 1 and 2 Samuel, and that is the name David, as in King David, as in David and Goliath. David and Jonathan, David and Bathsheba, David and Uriah, David and Absalom, and well, you get the point. These books are about King David. And if you're keeping a timeline going in your head, we're right at the year 1000 BC. And I said this at the other services, kind of keep that in perspective. Abraham was 2000 BC. We have David at 1000 BC. Another 1,000 years and you're to Jesus. And it always helps me kind of think about this. We are as close to Jesus as Jesus was to Abraham. Okay. Have you ever heard of David? You ever heard of King David? Sure you have. Okay. If he is not the best known figure in the Hebrew scripture, he's one of the top ones, up there with Moses and with Abraham. And although David is not the first king of Israel, that was Saul, David is the one that is remembered as the monarch of all monarchs. And it may be remembering it kind of in a romantic spirit, but everybody remembered David as the king that every king should be. And when they look back across their history to the good old days, they look to King David. They look to King David. They yearn for leadership like that. And so it should come as no surprise to us that in times of hopelessness, it was to the Davidic legacy that the people turned. Okay, for example, in the 8th century BC, 200 years after David, as the Assyrian Empire was threatening to destroy the world as they knew it, the prophet Isaiah looked to a glorious future when the people would proclaim these words: "A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore." And then toward the end of the next century, the 7th century, and on into the 6th century B.C., more than 300 years after David's reign, as a shadow of the Babylonian Empire was moving across the land of Judah, the prophet Jeremiah writes, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved." Now this thinking would continue for centuries more, as the people look continually for the reestablishment of the house of David. They would look to that house for salvation, for security, for help. And while 1 and 2 Samuel recounts the events of 1000 BC, they reach all the way down, those words reach all the way down to the 1st century AD, to a small area called Galilee, and to a group of people living there trying to come to grips with the experience they were having with a rabbi named Jesus. Okay, here are these words from 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. "Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him. He said, 'The Lord has anointed you ruler over his people Israel. You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their enemies all around. Now this shall be a sign to you.'" Okay, just take that in for a minute. The Lord has anointed you. Now remember, the Hebrew term for one who is anointed is Mashiach, Messiah. The Greek word is Christos, or Christ. And Samuel says, you will save them. This shall be a sign to you. Think about that. Now hear these words written by Luke many years later. "Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord. This will be a sign for you.'" Why are we having this year-long Bible study series, sermon series? We're having it because we need to know the story if we're going to understand the story. And books like 1 and 2 Samuel, books that most people never even heard of, are central to our story. Okay, let's keep moving. Do you remember the story of Palm Sunday? You just heard it read. Cindy just read it. Okay. It's the first day of Holy Week. It was a day on which Jesus entered Jerusalem, a.k.a. the city of David. And he came in down the mountain called the Mount of Olives. Thank you very much. Okay. When you hear that, and when others heard it, your mind should immediately go to the prophet Zechariah. I know we haven't gotten to Zechariah yet, so just hold on. Okay. Let me just give you a taste. Zechariah 14, verse 4 reads, "On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east." And then chapter 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." Okay, jump ahead 600 years. And Mark shares the story you heard just a few minutes ago. "And those who went before and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming.'" You see, they knew the story. They knew the story found in 1 and 2 Samuel. They knew about David. They knew about the writings of the prophets. They knew that the kingdom for which they had been waiting and their ancestors had been waiting was now at hand. Everything was falling into place. And that meant that finally, they were all going to get what they wanted. Chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, we read, "Then all the elders gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations.'" The key thing here is, "Appoint for us then a king to govern us," all caps, "like other nations." Every time I read this passage, I can't help but hear the cry of every child who has ever lived. Or maybe I would even expand that to every human being of any age who has ever lived. And the cry or the whine went something like this: "I want what they have. I want what they have." Have your kids ever said that? Sure. Have you ever said that? Sure. And don't we have a commandment warning us against such an attitude? Sure. Okay. A song immediately comes to my mind and to my heart when I hear these words. A classic song by a classic group. It was a final track on their final album of the 1960s. The name of the group is the Rolling Stones. Top five in their catalog of hits. The 100th greatest song of all time, according to Rolling Stone magazine. "You Can't Always Get What You Want." Thank you, Mick. Israel wanted to be just like every other nation. The problem is they were not like every other nation. They wanted a king. They got one. But as we read through 1 and 2 Samuel and then 1 and 2 Kings, which is next week, we see that monarchy was not a smooth ride for Israel. But even a questionable history could not dissuade them. They wanted a Davidic king to lead them. And for nearly 1,000 years they waited. 1,000 years. And then when he finally showed up, this Davidic Messiah, many, many had second thoughts. And not those who rejected him. I'm talking about those who followed him. Let that sink in for a minute. Okay. Friends, it's the same issue that we see in 1 Samuel. Give us a king like everyone else has. It's a perennial temptation, isn't it? To have what everyone else has. The temptation to be like everyone else is. And the problem is, we're not like everyone else is. You see, we believe, or we say we believe, that we are the body of Christ. We believe that this community called the church, both individually and collectively, literally, we are the presence of Christ in the world. We operate according to a different worldview. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, oh, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. And that changes everything. Let me give you a taste of it. You've heard that it was said you shall love your enemy and hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? If you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And finally, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And he told him a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers. Well, you know the story. Friends, the Israelites wanted to be like everyone else. And they pleaded with Samuel to appoint them a king. They got their king. But ultimately, things didn't work out so well. The turbulence continued as one king after the other came and went. Oh, but only if they could have one from David's line. Then everything would be fine. Then they would finally have what they wanted. And along came Jesus, son of David. Let me just put it this way. You can't always get what you want, but you just might find you get what you need. Thank you, Mick. How profound is that? Next Sunday is Reign of Christ Sunday. Christ the King Sunday. It marks the end of the liturgical year. We've been moving toward this day all year, since last December. Reign of Christ. That's been our goal. To get to the point in our lives, to the point that we are driven by something bigger, something more profound than self. Driven by the love of Christ. Friends, Thanksgiving is a good time for a self-assessment. You know, the kids are, you know, we're already talking about things. It's a good time to take stock of our lives. And so don't fret about it when you take stock. Do something about it. You see, the week after next is the first Sunday of Advent. And we all get a chance to start over. And as we wait his arrival again. So let me ask you, what is on your list this year? What you want or what you really need? Okay, listen to these words. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? But wait. That's from the book of 1 Kings. And that's next week. I hope you will join us. See you then. Thanks be to God. Amen.